Welcome to The Grand Life, a podcast about grandparenting, exploring ways to be better at it and to connect to those who are in it with us. I'm Emily Morgan. I have been a grandmother for only 9 years. I say only because I know many of you have been grandparents for a lot longer. In the 3 seasons of this podcast, we have stepped through many stages of grandparenting, including being a brand new grandparent, a single grandparent, a grandparent who holds cousin camps, and a grandparent who is still working. In this episode, we cover new territory for me, grandparenting teens. We all know what the teen years look like from a parent's perspective. We've been through those challenges, the boundary pushing, the mind games, the drama. Now, with a few more years under our belts, we are able to zoom out and see the bigger picture, which should make us better grandparents. That is what we are covering today. In this episode, I talk to a parent who is sandwiched between her teens and her own mother, a granddaughter who has learned a lot from her grandparents, and finally, a mother and daughter team who run a business together and who are in the thick of the teen world as mother and grandmother. I also welcome a guest essayist for The Stretch It Takes, who shares with us what her grown grandchildren believe has created that lasting bond with her. I think you'll appreciate the wisdom these guests bring to the topic. You know, we're all going to be grandparents of teens eventually, so why not hear what we have to look forward to? According to the 2010 Census Bureau, over 4.2 million households included a grandparent. That's about 3% of all households in the U.S. as of 10 years ago. My hunch is that once we hear the results of the 2020 census, we will find that the number of grandparents living with children and grandchildren has grown. There are many reasons a grandparent would live with their descendants. I talked with Rebecca, whose real name I've withheld, about how it came to be that her mom moved in with her family. The story of Rebecca's mom really is a case study of the grandparent relationship evolving with the growing up of the grandchildren, the topic of this episode. But there's a wrinkle in the story. The decision they made to have her live with them had much to do with her mom's mental health.
We decided that since we have so many children, that it would be beneficial for her to come and live with us. And she also struggles with depression and anxiety. And we felt like the benefits of the children being around her, you know, surrounded by your grandchildren and your children, along with having a stable living environment, would be really beneficial for her mental health.
So Rebecca's mom moved in, and initially it was a great arrangement.
It was wonderful. When she first moved in, it was more than 10 years ago. So The children ranged in age from about 4 years old to 7 years old. And we only had 3 children at that time. And since then, we've grown our family through both birth and adoption. And we now have 8 children, 6 children through adoption and 2 biological children. And currently, the age range is from 8 years old to 20 years old. And the majority of the kids are between the ages of 15 and 20. And so that dynamic is dramatically different from when, you know, we just had 3 kids between 4 and 7 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and describe that then in terms of like how it compares to when your mom was first with you 10 years ago, your kids were little, and now their majority are teenagers.
Yeah. So when they were little, they were incredible sources of joy for her. You know, part of depression means that sometimes an individual might isolate themselves or, you know, sleep a lot or just kind of check out of engaging with daily life or their day-to-day activities. But with the grandchildren around, you know, she was constantly engaged. I mean, there's no stopping when you have 3 little ones below
right.
7.
Yeah.
So she was, you know, always engaged with them, always out and about playing with them, taking them to go on walks around the block or taking them to do various things. She would help them with their homework. She would help them with their reading, and she would sing with them and dance with them. One of her favorite things to do would be to put on some Diana Ross music and dance with the children in the living room, or teach them how to sing, harmonize, just lots of things that she was passing down as far as what she enjoyed and her loves and her passions. But then as the children began to proceed towards and through adolescence, that dynamic really changed.
Rebecca explained that her mom grew up with strict guidelines and expectations of obedience from children. But as we all know, teenagers often find those kinds of restrictions a real drag.
Teenagers and preteens are really going to be seeking independence. They're going to be testing boundaries and just trying to figure out where they are and who they are and what they believe in. So there's a lot of boundary pushing that comes with that. And for my mother, that boundary pushing was, to her, she perceived it as an incredible source of disrespect. And so the dynamic between the children came from one of where her time with them would be enjoyable. And you know, we always say in our house, filling up buckets. We talk about filling up buckets, and she would fill up their buckets because it was such a joy for them to spend time with grandma and snuggled in her arms or on the couch reading a book, and they got to enjoy her whenever they wanted, you know. Just about. It got to a point where the kids would avoid her because they were always afraid of getting into an argument and felt that she wouldn't listen. They felt when they were younger, they could talk with grandma for hours about anything and have this back and forth joyful conversation. But as they progressed towards being a teen, it was her way or no way. And that really made it difficult for them to feel like they could speak to her. And it really hurt the relationship.
Historically, we have considered grandparents to be wisdom givers, passing on lessons learned and doling out helpful advice. But it would seem that the best grandparents often are the ones who are good listeners. Teenagers are drawn to that kind of grandparent and often shy away from the more didactic kind. So how is that affecting your mother's health now, her mental health, when she feels maybe excluded from family?
Yeah, you're exactly right to describe it that way. And to me, I never perceived it that way, but she definitely perceives it as being excluded. You know, we see her kind of returning to the old ways of isolating herself and keeping herself in her room or away from the family activities, or sometimes, unfortunately, we'll invite her to some of the kids' activities like concerts. You know, everything's been virtual this year, but you will invite her to performances or concerts and she'll say she's coming, but then she doesn't show up. And that is often, you know, I've had several of the kids crying when they thought grandma was coming, but she didn't show up because her presence means a lot to them, even though they have lost some of that connectivity in their ability to have a conversation with her without it ending up in an argument or something like that.
It does seem that just as we had to navigate our own children's teenage and young adult years, we now have to figure out as grandparents how to adjust to a different kind of relationship with our teen grands.
It's not always clear how to proceed towards that, through that, except to give the kids, especially the teenagers, time to mature and then figure out how to navigate that relationship, you know, the new relationship between a young adult grandchild and a grandparent.
Since Rebecca is the mother of 8 children, I asked her if she could see differences in the way her children responded to being grandparented by her mom.
It is very personality dependent. 2 out of the 8 are able to put themselves aside and put their own emotions aside and listen, or just give grandma the space to be grandma without feeling they need to explain themselves or argue with her or tell her how they disagree with her. And so those 2 have been able to maintain a relationship with her that's healthier, I would say, than the other kids who are more typical teenagers in that you have to know what they think.
the grandmother's not listening and the teenagers aren't listening, that really doesn't make for a great combo.
It's terrible. It makes a good combination for arguing.
I asked Rebecca how she sees this all playing out as her kids age out of their teen years.
Going forward, I really think that as my children mature and get older, they will shift their understanding of their relationship with grandma and also grandma's perception that everything that she says to them is just to help them become better human beings. A lot of times when she's speaking to them and so insistent on getting her point across, it's really with the intention of helping them to become better people when they grow up. And so I think as they get older and have more experience out in the world, they will realize some of what grandma said was very valuable and that she was trying to do her best.
So many dynamics change as our grands get older. And if you have gotten to the point where your grandchildren are now becoming parents themselves, you can relate to what Rebecca says about her own teenagers.
I think as they get married and have their own children, they will realize some of the errors in their own thinking in feeling like, well, I just got to have grandma understand. What they don't realize is grandma does understand a lot of times. She just doesn't agree.
I had a chance to talk to a young woman about her evolving relationship with her grandparents. It was interesting to compare her time with her grandparents when they lived further away and then when they moved closer to be near her.
Both sets of my grandparents didn't live super close when I was little, so I had a similar relationship with both of them. I really saw them like maybe once or twice a year, like around the holidays and maybe during the summer. But they always both would send me like money on Christmas or my birthday, which was always nice because I knew that they were thinking about me.
That was
Ellen Durr, and I'm 17 years old.
We talked about how when she was young, she and her grandparents would go on outings together as families, taking walks, going bowling. Back then, they saw each other only a few times a year.
I definitely take after all of my grandparents, and I do love my food. So, like getting breakfast or brunch with them, donuts, was always something I enjoyed.
While those visits were fun, it's pretty clear from talking to Ellen that having grandparents nearby really changes the dynamic.
So, my grandparents on my mom's side, my Nana and Papa, moved like 5 minutes from my house when I was probably 12, which was about 5 years ago. And that just so happened to be right about when I was starting high school. So when I was like a preteen moving to a teen, and I definitely got a lot closer to them when they moved here. And they started coming to my sports games and my choir concerts all the time, which was really nice to like get to know them a little bit better as I was growing up too.
One of the best things about being a grandparent of a teen, whether they live nearby or far away, is discovering things you might have in common with your grands, and then taking the extra time to talk about things that matter.
One thing I really enjoy doing with my Nana is going thrift shopping, because I really enjoy doing that, and she does too, so we've definitely bonded over that in the past couple years. And I also will go over to their house, just me, or sometimes with me and my brother, and we'll hang out with them. I'll cook with my Nana sometimes because we both love cooking and watch sports games. They love Ohio State. I love Michigan State, but we can still watch games together sometimes.
You can still be friends. That's awesome. Do you ever find yourself getting into kind of deep conversations with them?
Yeah, more recently I've realized myself like wanting to know more, not just about them, but like asking questions about other people, especially because they're older, so they've lived a lot more years and had a lot more experience than me. And like, I've found myself asking them sometimes about my mom because we both have such a different relationship with her, mm-hmm. me as her daughter and them as her parent.
Yeah.
It's sometimes funny even to ask them questions about what my mom was like when she was a girl and stuff. So those are the kind of conversations I find myself asking them. But also recently they've told me a little bit about like how they grew up, which is really interesting because it definitely gives me like a new insight to their life and a new perspective on like who they really are.
As I was talking to Ellen, I was thinking about my conversation with Rebecca and how listening skills on both sides, the grandparent and the teen, are probably the most important skills of all.
I do have some like stronger beliefs, and more recently I've like begun talking about some of my like views and stuff a little bit more as I've become more educated on them. Mm-hmm. And I do talk to them about it, and they definitely like know what I believe, and almost all of the time they agree with me. A couple, like sometimes on some things they might not, but they will always support me even if we disagree on things, and we never really get into arguments about them.
That's great. So it's kind of like the Ohio State Michigan thing. You agree to disagree.
All kidding aside, Ellen is pretty wise beyond her years. She is one of those teenagers who is interested in learning from her grandparents, an attitude not all teenagers possess.
Something I already kind of touched on is probably the most interesting and important thing to me about my relationship with my grandparents, and that's their relationship with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really interesting to like get their point of view about her, like how they raised her maybe, and how she's raised us, and talking about the similarities there, the differences there, because it's two generations. Also kind of noticing how our world has changed within that time, and thinking about like how I'll apply that to maybe if I have kids, like the generational gap between us, I think is really interesting to think about.
Yeah. Has it changed your relationship with your mom at all as you've gotten to know your grandparents better?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like made me ask more questions about her and her history, her life. Just the other day, we pulled out a bunch of pictures from her childhood, college, and like when her and my dad first got married, which was really interesting to just look at pictures, because a picture can speak a thousand words. So it like really gave me an insight into her life, which I think is thanks to them.
It was so encouraging to talk to Ellen. While I know that not all teens share her attitude, I like to think that many of them do, or could grow in that direction. It makes me excited for the years to come as my grands grow a little older. In keeping with our theme, I have invited a mother and daughter team to join us. They work together in a business called Grand Connections, creating memories for a lifetime. I met them back when I was doing an episode on Cousin Camp. Their business is tailored to grandparents who want to create a camp for their grands. They provide workshops and DIY experiences for interested grandparents.
I have been hosting what I call Camp Grandma for about 14 years. And it was an evolving but very heartfelt part of my life. And when my daughter and I wanted to put a small business together, we were looking around for ideas, and we landed on this whole broad concept of the role of grandparent and the family and multi-generational needs for grandparents to really be present. So we started developing materials for grandparents to really be very effective in creating the memories and the relationships that they would like to with their grandchildren.
That's Judy of Camp Grandma Fame, former child psychotherapist and now grandmother to four and creator of Grand Camp. She and her daughter, Kelly, work now together to help grandparents structure a DIY camp experience for their own grandchildren. It started way back when Judy had very young grands, but as you will find out, the investment she made back when they were little has paid huge dividends.
Chronologically, the first Camp Grandma, the grandkids that were involved in that were 3 and 1.5. And now those same grandchildren are 16 and 18. And they are still invested in this particular type of activity, and more importantly, their relationship with myself and my husband, their grandfather. So one of the biggest things that I have learned is, this is a really old quote, you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. And by beginning these kinds of activities when the children were very little, very accepting of anything, when we rolled into the teenage years, which can be very difficult in terms of finding common ground, they were willing. They were trusting, and they were, you know, even if I presented something that at first they went, it didn't take long to move from that somewhat negative reaction to, you know, some level of at least curiosity. And then after a very short time, they were with the program.
Kelly remembers what it was like when the kids were a lot younger, and it's no surprise to her that her mom has been so successful with her own Camp Grandma.
Well, I've been watching my nieces go to Camp Grandma since they were little, and it's become kind of a whole family sort of endeavor, because the theme is a secret from everyone until the day that Camp Grandma starts. And so my brother and I are like, what's it going to be this year? Oh my gosh, what's it going to be? And you know, everyone that we tell about it wants to go, and so it becomes this like huge, bigger than just the grandkids kind of thing. But watching my brother's kids and then my own kid, when she finally got old enough to go to this thing, has been, I want to say wonderful, because it is wonderful, but I can't say that it's less than I expected it to be, because my mom is kind of that kind of person. You know, the kinds of experiences that she used to put on for our birthday parties when I was a kid, it was sort of just kind of a natural evolution of that.
You might imagine that as grands grow, they would age out of this kind of thing, but Judy reminds us that by creating bonds early on, you can capture the heart of your teen and keep the love going.
By beginning so young, I know your grandchildren are very young.
Yes.
This gives you the opportunity to learn about each of your grandchildren. The goal here is to somehow develop a reciprocal relationship, something where I see you and who you are, and you see me and who I am. And when you do that, is a very tiny little thing, and then they grow and they're learning to see the world outside themselves at first, and then outside their family, and then outside their school, and their world becomes bigger. So by the time they're teenagers and they're beginning to form, you want them to form their own opinions and to have their personal preferences. Whether you agree with them or not makes no mm-hmm. difference. As their grandparent, it is something that you can provide for them. Your valuing their choices is something you and you alone can really provide if you have developed this reciprocal, trusting relationship. While a parent might jump back and, you know, they might be aghast at something like purple and pink striped hair, which is just something that's current now. When I was a teenager, I don't know that anybody in your audience will have had the same experience, but, you know, the crazy wild thing that I was able to do was wear a mini skirt. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, that was my most influential grandmother, she thought it was a hoot. You know, at least that's what she told me. You know, she may have inside her own mind said, oh my goodness, what is happening to my granddaughter? Yeah. But for me, to me, the her valuing my opinions and what was important to me was where it was. That was all it was about. And if you can do that for teenage grandchildren, if you can be that person that they can depend on, rely on to value them, it's really quite a gift for you and for them.
Yeah. I asked Kelly about her own daughter and her relationship with her grandmother. It became clear right away that much of that is personality based.
I think that my daughter and my mom text each other sometimes.
Usually in the middle of the night, yes.
when my daughter really needs something that only grandma can give, then she'll reach out. But it's not a super common occurrence.
Mm-hmm. What about your other grandchildren, Judy? Do you hear from them?
I do. And again, it varies according to who that child really is. I have four granddaughters ranging in age from not quite 2 to 18 years old. And two of them are pretty introverted. And, you know, it is something that I need to be mindful of, that they will come to me when they are ready to come to me. And then one is quite chatty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she gets started on a text, it may be an hour later before she's done. So they are very different. And again, that going back to my role is respecting them is really important. Mm-hmm. And then I think another part of that, and what Kelly just reminded me of, is between the grandchildren and their own parents, a grandparent can either triangulate or they can be neutral. They can be Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everyone that is listening to this or may ever listen to this, think of Switzerland. It's very important.
Well, why don't you, for those of our listeners who aren't aware of Switzerland and their political leanings, why don't you go ahead and tell us what Switzerland means?
That is to be very neutral. And it, truthfully, as a grandparent, your connection to your grandchild must always go through their parent. Mm-hmm. It's a biological reality that has to happen. Having said that, if you are able to really feel very neutral in that, like, I'm not going to take sides in this issue. I'm here to support both of you, my child and my grandchild. So,
right.
You know, you may bite your tongue occasionally, but really and truly, if you view your relationship with your child and your grandchild through that lens of being neutral, I think it avoids a lot of conflict.
Let's talk a little bit about very specific things like eating choices and fashion choices and political leanings. As kids get into those ages, they become very clear about how they feel. They might change their minds as adults, but right at this point, they're very much like, well, I don't eat that, or, you know, I can't believe you're slaughtering animals for that, you know, food, or I don't think you should ever vote for so-and-so. How do you handle that? Kelly, they're the mom of a teen, and you have an aunt, depending on where you come from, of some teen girls. How's that play out?
Well, one of the things that I have found very helpful and very important in my relationship with my daughter and my nieces is to try to keep two things in mind. The first thing is that despite their age, they're still people, and they're people whose opinions deserve respect. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that they're kids, and so their opinions are probably going to come from a place of not having necessarily all of the information that they could possibly have, and their brains aren't, you know, 100% developed in all the different areas. So I have to view their opinions through that kind of lens. And also, as a parent, you don't really ever know. You're always kind of playing catch up with your kid's developmental stage. So you're like, oh, you're ready for this now. Okay, I didn't realize that. All right. Listening to what they have to say, thinking about what they're saying before you respond to what they say is always a very important thing, because you want to be like jumping as a parent, you want to jump in and be like, oh, this is a teaching moment. Wow, let me teach you something. It's hard not to just jump in there with your own opinion and your own experiences and your own everything without like just taking a second and going, okay, this is what they're thinking. This is coming from the viewpoint of their specific generation also, which is going to be by its very nature very different from what your generation may think or have experienced. So you have to try to base any kind of responses on those sorts of considerations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Judy, I'm curious, I feel like maybe as a grandparent, even more so than a parent, you have more history. So you can see, like you were talking about the miniskirt, you can see the stages kids go through and you can see where they end up. And so you have a broader look at the way human development happens. And that seems like that might be helpful when you're talking about fashion, eating choices, political leanings. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely do. I just was reading through a recent edition of ARP magazine, and Kevin Costner, who is only 65, he's a young one, a young grandparent, he actually has children that are preteens.
Wow.
And his second family. And he talks about the fact that he always tells them, I've crossed that river more than once. I know the rocks that are steady and the rocks where you'll slip. And so he uses a lot of humor, apparently. And I find that is also a really good way to approach these things, so that you end up in a position where there's no power struggle about it. For one Christmas, I asked the girls for my Christmas present if they would be my fashion consultants. And at the after Christmas sales, we all went, the three girls, the older girls, the youngest one wasn't born yet, but we went to a mall, and I told them this is what I was looking for, the category of clothing I was looking for. And they could all go out across the mall or across the shop we were in and give me things to try on that they thought would be perfect for me.
How fun.
And it actually was a lot of fun, because we, in that conversation, they were able to, tell me why they thought this was really an appealing article of clothing. And then when I tried it on and it looked either good, bad, or indifferent on me, I was able to say, well, you know, when you get a little older, you've got the chin to take care of, and you got the underarm to take care of, and you know, your colors need to change as you change. And they were like, yeah, wow, Grandma. And then I could have the conversation about their fashion choices, because they were very clear at that point in terms of being very different and very committed to their fashion choices of the moment. But those kinds of joyful, playful moments are the way I find that when you're exchanging or having experiences, with your grandchildren, that really are the most meaningful to both you and the grandchild. If you sit down and say, well, I'm going to tell you about fashion in my day, yeah, this is what it looked like. it's not the same as actually getting out there and having something where there's give and take.
If you'd like to know more about how you can create your own grand camp, please check out our show notes for this episode for more information. Whether you have little ones or teens, you might find that it's just the thing for cementing the relationship for a lifetime. You know what? I have found that doing a podcast about something you know nothing about is quite a challenge. So in this episode for The Stretch It Takes, I called upon a grandmother whose grands range in age from 13 to 23. Pamela Dennis is an independent management consultant in Boulder, Colorado, and she was gracious enough to provide a guest essay sharing her thoughts about being a grandmother to teens. So let's go to the mat and do this stretch together.
Grandparenting teens is a stretch that strengthens us. We were the Let's Do Crafts Grandma and the Let's Go Catch a Snake Ampa to our first two grandkids. We had sleepovers and times at Martha's Vineyard without parents, collecting shells, fishing, and having lobster races. For our second two, far away, we flew out to visits to cheer at soccer games and lacrosse games, or to attend their in-home music recitals. Being a grandparent to young children was carefree, exhausting, but gratifying, and created a deep connection. How it changes when they are teenagers. It can feel like a stretch. I ask myself, why don't I feel as close? Am I still relevant in this child's life? What can we still do together? And how do I make a difference that matters to them? I decided to explore these questions with my grandkids, who are between 13 and 23, and my sister, also a grandmother to teens. Here's what I learned. Number one, deep down, they are the same kids, needing to feel unconditionally loved, but now also needing to feel respected as individuals who are exploring who they are, what they believe, where to go next, without being judged. You didn't judge them when they decided on the color to paint that garden rock, and now you don't judge them for the color they dye their hair or if they get a tattoo. Back then, you encouraged them to try it at least once, whether a vegetable or activity. Our stretch now is to empower them to make their own decisions. What college, what car to buy, or whether to break up with a boyfriend. Maybe we don't hug them on our lap anymore. Instead, the hug looks like listening and empathizing with their anxiety. The stretch is to do more paraphrasing, less telling, and more just checking in on how they're coping with it all. Number two, your experience, perspective, and wisdom really does matter. Funny how they didn't matter with our own kids, but now that you are almost prehistoric, their kids want to hear, what was it like for you when? I tested my 15-year-old granddaughter, but it's such a different world now. Her reply was that while it's different in many ways, quote, love is still love when a boy breaks your heart. I want to hear your experience and perspective. Number three, technology matters, but not as I imagined. It's both an enabler and a symbol. While we don't all have to do Snapchat and Instagram, knowing how to connect to grandkids using their modes versus ours says you are reaching out to relate to them in their world. Granted, it's not as rewarding to us as a phone call, but it fits their time demands and, frankly, their attention spans. By the way, it improves our street cred. My grandson once bragged to his friends that his grandparents knew how to text. And another teen said to his sister one evening, overheard by their grandmother, I bet mom doesn't even know what a meme is. But ha ha, grandpa and gram do. Number four, finally, don't buy into the myth that teens don't want to do things with their grandparents. When we took our 16-year-old to Paris and London for 2 weeks, a friend asked, why would a 16-year-old want to hang out with you two old people? The teen remembers it this way, quote, being with my grandparents has always been a special occasion, even if it's just coming over to make crepes for breakfast. That trip introduced me to my first crepe on a street in Paris, so it's a special memory we share. I always learned something with them. I may have helped them in the underground metro, but they helped me want to see the world. So where are we going next? End quote. When I asked my grandson, who just returned from an Air Force deployment, what made him want to hang out with his grandfather, especially now that he's newly married, he texted me his touching note. He wrote, I believe the bond that Grandpa and I formed when I was a baby keeps us close today. Throughout my childhood, he was always there, influencing my hobbies, teaching me to shoot, fish, golf, and build things. His wise words, cheesy jokes, and good attitude towards life stays in my memories and motivates me even today. Joining the military, drinking fat tire, eating greasy burgers and dive restaurants. I look forward to hanging out and making more memories when I'm on the golf course with him again. End quote. Now with the coronavirus, their world is upside down with great anxiety and stress. The stretch for us is to keep that relationship strong for their emotional health and for ours.
I can't say thank you enough to Pamela for her wonderful words about being a grandparent to teens. I look forward to that day, but I am recognizing that what my husband and I are building now with our little grands will make a big difference in the future. If you are a grandparent of teens, I'd love to know what has worked for you and how you feel about that transition. I'd love it if you would share your thoughts and ideas for the podcast by contacting me at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 317-572-7876. And if you happen to be listening using the Apple Podcast app, please consider leaving a review of The Grand Life in the app. Your review can help new listeners decide whether to listen in or stick with an unfamiliar podcast. There are hundreds of thousands of choices out there in the podcast universe, and we all need each other to help find the ones that are worth our time.
Next time on The Grand Life.
The memories I have with my grandmother are some of the best memories I have of my childhood. She was a teacher at a public school in New York City, and we routinely would go to school with her and sit in her classes. It brought me so much joy to see how much she enjoyed her job. You know, that joy was infectious. So I just felt so incredibly special when I was 7, 8, 9 years old going to work with Grandma, because we were like superstars.
That's next time on The Grand Life.
As you may have already heard, The Grand Life podcast is now partnering with The Grand Magazine. It's a wonderful online resource for grandparents with a rich mix of experts and experiences. Subscribe for free at grandmagazine.com. I've said it before, I do not pretend to be the best grandparent ever, but I will confess to believing that being one is the best thing ever. I'm Emily Morgan, and thanks for joining me in living the grand life.
This podcast was written and hosted by Emily Morgan, my grandmother. It was produced and edited by Mike Morgan, my grandfather. Email them at grandwifeconnection@gmail.com.